All right, we're coming now, in a minute. Hold on.
Live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Undefeated! You're undeclared your independence. I tell you, that's what it takes. You know, Kyle O'Donnell is going to stay on another segment here, and I'm going to make a statement, and I haven't told him this, you know, but I'm going to make a statement, and I want to see how far off I am, and if he's going to keep focusing on, and you're going to do him pinky swear in Arizona, and this is statewide, nationwide, worldwide, galactic-wide. This is how it's done. Now, I'm going to make a statement, and you tell me how far off I am, okay?
Gotcha.
Okay. All right, here we go. There is a mechanism behind all this stuff. It takes the form of grants and incentives and whether you got, you know, multiple housing or not, and you know, water system, and you know, you have to get on the grid, the infrastructure that's set in, you know, policy and so on from international of who gives a crap. And when they put small communities get on the ability to tax their slaves, then here they come. And you need to set it up this way, you need to do it that way, and then we can make some real money. And to do that, they need a template to follow. Well, here comes the League of Cities and Towns. Then they have positions, and we were warned about this after Kyoto and Rio and this sustainable development of the eco whatever friendly of who's in, you know, save the planet stuff. And that's just their excuse. And what they do is they bring in a city manager. Got to have a city manager thing. Elected officials don't matter. They're just, you know, insulation. Then they get paid off if they go along with it. You have the city manager. You need a prosecutor that'll file charges, a law enforcement guy, city chief of whatever that'll go out and harass people, and then maybe a municipal judge or a clerk and something like that. When they do this mechanism, they say, here, hire this guy. So the guy, when they say, oh, we got a great, you know, League of Cities and Town manager, he knows how to do it better than the other guys, and he's not as scumbaggy. And I'm going, oh, he's just more experienced. You take your time, dude. You got to relax. We'll get everybody's everything. We just got to do it this way. That's what's going on. And it's getting where people start recognizing the same thing, just with a velvet glove instead of an iron fist, but they're going to take your rights and your property. And this is all about property rights and the defense of it. And they go, nope. And if you complain, they're going to get you. And I see this. I can give you, show me a municipality. I'll show you exactly how they're doing it. And they're doing it everywhere. This ring true or no?
Well, what you mentioned about the League of Cities and Towns, that was very briefly mentioned in the version of the film that you saw.
Yep.
And you're a smarter interviewer than most, because you're really, really making me want to reveal stuff I can't reveal. You're really making me want to talk about the other information that's hopefully going to make it into a series that I'd really like to release. But I'll reveal a little bit about, I can't say what and I can't say who kind of thing, but on the larger version, I do go behind closed doors, so to speak, in a meeting, and really trying to make sure I say the right thing and not the wrong thing here.
Yeah, because these guys sue at a drop of a hat.
So there's an element that still exists about this, regardless how cleaned up the scenario is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's good people who either think or actually are doing what's best for their towns, right? So I want to make sure I pave the way for this other thing. But I think that there's a bit of, you know, like, you know, most cops don't start out dirty, right? Most cops don't think, you know, when they join the academy, I'm gonna find the first crackhead and plant some drugs on them. So, you know, they don't start out like that. Just like people, I don't think start out in mentalities like, how do I get in this for myself? I think that there's a piece of the system, a systemic additive that kind of trains the decision making in a certain direction, and then a few years in, you finally find yourself going, "Oh, wait a minute! I can't force the vote on something that benefits my property. What are you talking about? How's that not underhanded? Or how's that underhanded?" So, I think there's an element here that still exists, regardless of what kind of happy ending I could have put on this version, that version.
They have a mission, and they use government as their club to bang people on the head with. And I'm going, this is the purpose of it. This is why this show is called Declare Your Independence, because the Declaration of Independence says the only purpose of government is the defense of individual rights. If it doesn't do that, it's time to alter or abolish it. It's your right, your duty. And that's exactly what this story is about. They weren't doing the job of what a government is for in this nation. The purpose was individual rights protection, and when it gets down to you're up against whatever they, them, those want, the ones that won't leave you alone, they will explain it to you, and we saw it out in the open in courtside. And it comes what this systemic thing that you're talking about is they're using government to do whatever it is they, them, those want, and not for what it's designed for, what the promise was, is to be a rights protector. So when they go on about civil rights and whose lives matter and systemic racism and everything, that's a smokescreen for what's really going on. There is systemic rights violations for the crown. That's why we have PiratesWithoutBorders.com. You go to PiratesWithoutBorders.com and read the letters of Captain Mark in there, and you will smell quartzite in that whole thing when we reference in the crown. And I'm telling you, I don't think I know where this is going and why. And as soon as you understand the philosophy behind, libertarian leave me aloneism thing, you'll see why so many people showed up on this. Because we were whipping it up, man. We're like, I'm telling you, this is it. Why do you think all these people, they had a catalyzing event of, Jennifer Jones getting arrested and so on when she's speaking at the microphone. But the reason there were so many people is they understood what it meant, that this was an example, and it's systemic, and it's statewide, if not worldwide, but it is systemic. And why is it always Arizona? Why do they always go to Arizona? Why is it always election fraud? You didn't even really touch heavy on the election fraud, but that definitely came up, and they brought in a, go get some city attorney to go after the people looking at that. So I'm telling you, this ain't, how close am I, Kyle? Come on, man.
Well, I won't, you've got the drama, absolutely. The drama of the film, you pretty well nailed it. But the other part of the mission statement of Legally Insane Films is to celebrate the people who fight corruption. And so a huge focus of this film, even in that version, right, is to make sure that the point comes through clearly that when you band together, as we did before the Constitution was made in the first place, it takes diversity of people coming together and unifying across party lines to create the government that they want. They may not have achieved the pinnacle version of what they wanted. I'll agree with you there. But what they did achieve was a sense of unity. And these people, Jennifer Jones, Ed Foster, Mike Ross, they don't politically agree on basically anything. There's a few things that overlap, but the point of where they're at is that they came together, they put their personal politics aside and said, we suffer a common problem. And that common problem, absolutely, you're nailing it. It happens all over the states, happens all over countries I've been to overseas.
No, you go deeper into this of where the bad guys are getting their support from the politics in the state. These guys, we got representatives coming out there. The Attorney General's office. They're there to, we're here to make sure that you guys feel like something's being done so nothing gets done. And there are people that have moved there. There are people that have lived there. They're still part of the resistance, that it's not over. This is, Courtside's such a neon flashing example that we're going to, We're going to help, man. I'm telling you, we're coming.
From the third letter of Captain Mark. The Crown's observation conditions us to be dishonest with ourselves. Therefore, constant surveillance produces a society of constant deception. Honest communication is the seed of civilized conduct. To deny us this seed is to deny us its fruits. But the Crown's primary objective is to stifle free thought itself, to make its subjects incapable of dissent. Seasoned pirates have always encrypted messages and codes and ciphers, so intercepted transmissions were incomprehensible. But today, the Crown possesses advanced tools of pattern recognition that document, profile, and predict our every move. Today, piracy requires hailing frequencies completely invisible to the Crown. We are tired of poltergeists in the static. Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels, or just want some swag to let the Crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
You want to go again?
To be a
you
part
go.
Of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800.
All right, we're back.
Now,
you know, Kyle's got to...
Ernest Hancock.
Kyle's got to go, you know, but he wanted to say goodbye. All right, you know, end on whatever. We're not done. All right, go ahead and, you know, talk to the audience what you want to say and give out your web pages and when the release is and moving what you're hoping to do, and then you got to go. Go, Kyle.
Sure. Well, first of all, I appreciate the time. Folks can follow the progress of the documentary on my Twitter account, which is Kyle O'Donnell. My name is spelled with a C, so Charlie, Yankee, Lima, Echo, Oscar, Delta, Oscar, November, November, Echo, Lima, Lima, Kyle O'Donnell.
Kyle with a C, O'Donnell, yep, on Twitter.
Yep. And the website is legallyinsanefilms.com. I really want to get the story out that you're talking about. You're tapping into a lot of stuff and really kind of, I could feel my lungs filling up with air, dying to tell you more about this. So I want to get into that miniseries. So I'm hoping we can get that.
I think, you know, this is my opinion, and I want to make sure we do it on record and it's recorded and everything. I think Kyle is making a mistake by making it that it's over and you got a final whatever, because he believes that in the industry, if you have a feel-good, you know, ending of it's all good, high drama, and then everybody goes away feeling good, they think they got a better chance of selling it to whoever the hell makes those kinds of decisions. And I think that kind of incentive is the problem. That's part of the control grid. And there are people out there, privately, independent, wealthy individuals, that if you would tell the real story and how systemic this is, they would fund it. I know people doing it right now. So I'm going, I think you are incorrect, sir. But go ahead and go through your process. See if you get some. And if you don't, then you're going to be calling me and say, hey, Ernie, what's up?
Well, there's a story waiting, and if I find the right person, I'll reveal that story, and we'll take it from there. So I'm open to all options at this point. But yeah, thanks again, and I appreciate the time.
Yeah, no, thanks for doing it. It's definitely worth watching, just as a teaser for America. Thanks, Kyle. It was a pleasure, man. Keep in touch.
Okay, cheers. Be good. We'll do.
Peace. This has been a revelation for somebody. I don't know if for you guys or not, because, you know, I've over the years, anyone that's been listening to me for a long time, you understand my view of just government in general. But this has been, it's so important that this really get out the truth of what's going on. And what's missed in this is that, oh, you got a group of bad apples and you know, unsupervised, unaccountable, you know, town of, and then a bunch of people that just go out in the middle of the freaking desert to be left alone, and they won't leave them alone. And they're going to abuse and use them as much as possible. What Quartzsite really started off as unincorporated desert, you know, on a crossroads out in the middle of the nothing. And you go out in BLM land, and, you know, I'm living on a pension. I don't have enough money. I can get like a camper that, as long as it's not, you know, too hot, I can survive. In desert, and Arizona is perfect for that. That's why there's winter visitors come here, or Florida, and Arizona, you know, has got it going on. So that's why you have, if it's this itty bitty little town out in the middle of the desert, 100,000 RVs. I mean, that's a party. It's Burning Man for retirees. I'm telling you, it's a rock and roll good time. But there's somebody going, oh, you got to pay for that good time. Just like with Burning Man, here comes the sheriff. Here comes something. Well, they said, "Ooh, there's lots of money to be made here. We can do it. We just need a guy out there, strong arm, right ticket, give us money." Everybody out there, man, you thought you were being free? You thought you were being left alone? Man, you can't get out of here after a few months without at least a $1,500 fine and a park or something. You know, we're going to make it up. And they do. And I'm going, anybody that has any kind of infrastructure or so, you just tax the living crap out of them. And you do, I watched it build. And anybody that complained about it, you know, got targeted. And a good friend of ours that would have, I'd have two half-page ads in their newspaper for Freedom's Phoenix and for the Declare Your Independence show. It was, you know, they did a newspaper. Woo, man, whatever you need. No, for free, Ernie. I got the next newspaper coming. Don't worry about it, Ernie, for free. We'll just send you the, you know, what Kyle doesn't know is that I called a lot of these guys last night. And then what did I do? Nomadland with, God, what's her name? She played the lead character in the movie Fargo. Anyway, it won Oscar. And it's not an action-packed, and it got an R rating for what? I don't know what the hell it got R rating for, because she just, you know, float naked in the pool one time, or the, you know, a spring and a pond of whatever, and they, you know, you get 10 seconds of that, and, you know, at a distance, and that makes it an R. I go, what, they had a marketing thing? So I go, what the hell was that about R? I go, what? I don't even think they even cussed in it. So whatever. Yeah, it's, you know, for money. And Nomadland was highly, highly pushed. It got Oscar. It's doing well. It's all over, you know, streaming channels. So last night, and it was only $5.99, so it must be not doing that great. So I watched it, and it had a large part of it, or, you know, it had a lot to do with this nomadic life, but it depicted quartzite quite a bit. And it gave you the impression, you know, of what is accurate for a lot of people. They just go out in the desert. Here's a wide spot. They create a community. They stay there a few months, and they go. Now, we have yet to do that. Now, we've been out there at the gym show. We talked to vendors. I could see the economy booming, but we didn't go out in the deep desert where you have all these different, you know, kind of subcultures out there, and they're just surviving because they get enough money on their pension or Social Security or whatever to keep their vehicle running. They are able, as long as they don't have to spend a bunch of money on fuel and so on, they can live out in the desert. And then when it starts getting too hot, which be about March, you know, something, like, yep, it's time to go to wherever. And they go up to, you know, the Dakotas or Montana, or they're somewhere cool, and they do the same thing. And it's just, they call them, you know, snowbirds. And they just go back and forth, back and forth. Some people have big, giant $250,000 rigs, you know, which they showed in one of it. You know, they go in, they're like, damn, you know, while they're living in a van. And they pimp out their vans. And this tiny living, tiny, this has been going on for decades out in quartzite. Well, then they start having, you know, limitation. Oh, you can't be here for more. It's all government. You get a bunch of people together that you go from, you know, 1,000 people to, you know, over 100,000 RVs. You know, they're, yeah, we need to have a government fleet and make some money and do and get build sidewalks and stuff. I mean, to the point that there's one airport out there. A guy, he didn't play ball. The city goes, yeah, we're going to extend this road up past, and they trenched right across his runway because they can. And that was one thing, one of the attorneys in this, that took on a lot of these cases pro bono, and I think she, you know, came out all right on it. But she seemed to, you know, did a good job in the documentary. And she made the observation. I don't know, she probably got it from us, you know, screaming this all the time. She goes, they did this because they can. There's your answer. What is the systemic mechanism that makes it where they can? Now, we've been, you know, Matt White that listens to the show in Virgin's, Vermont, you know, is the same kind of thing. You know, he'd been there going, yeah, well, they're doing it here. You want to know? We go to Vermont. We start out in that a little bit. They have some success there. We got, you know, problems in Washington State. We go spend some time up there. Yeah, we do the same thing. Southern Oregon, the organic farmer, they wanted to make good. We go and spend time there. But, you know, where's my heart? Era freaking zona. But I already know how it's done. I've just proven it everywhere else. It's systemic government. It's systemic. The systemic racism, rights violation. I go, no, that's the camouflage for what's really going on. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yep, we're back. In the next hour, half hour, a little more from now, Dale Brown is coming on. Protect yourself against violent predators. We're going to let him, threatmanagementcenter.com. He's out of Detroit, and it's a great story, and I want to share it with you, but I tell you, all of these problems are systemic from something other than whatever they're telling you is a systemic problem. That ain't it. You know, whoever they put up as the savior, it ain't him or her. Whatever they have a solution, that's not the one. You know, it's never what it really is. It's self-determination, individual rights protection, you know, down to the individual, decentralization. These are always the answer, always. Because the purpose of God, all these discussions, all of this pontificate, all of this philosophy, all of this, it was a Declaration of Independence. It was all down to man, you know, yeah, but we'll rule you better. No, we don't want to be ruled. We're good. No, but you need to do it. We'll do it right this time or better, or we're going to make you do it, or we got these red coats and this here gun. You know, it always comes down to that. And anything that they do to kind of polish it over or to hide it or be more transparent or to fix it or whatever the hell else that they do, every single time it's to cover up what they're really doing to you, just get you to accept a little more tyranny or go one more election cycle. And then they just control the elections. They just have to make you feel like you're in charge. And that was one of the big things that we were working on. I don't know how we got involved in the court side. I think it might have been the election thing. Because the city clerk, you know, they just, yeah, and then you're not on the ballot. We don't like you. And we challenged this off. And we said no. And it takes somebody to sign this to get them off the ballot. Okay, well, I signed it. Now sue us. I mean, it's just, this went on and on and on. And I'd recognized it from a decade before of how this happened in Apache Junction. And a guy that, what was his name? Bob. There was a guy that owned a property that moved out in the middle of the desert from Ohio to get away from government. And the freeway had yet to be out to Apache Junction, which was just to get there was like a day thing, you know, to get out the Superstition Mountains and the mines out there. And it was out in the middle of the desert just to be left alone, which is exactly what happens with quartzite. It's the same thing. Now, you know, Apache Junction's like the far reaches and the edge of the Valley of the Sun, of it's just part of it. And I'm like, okay, you know, same thing. And then what happens? Quartzite started doing the same thing. And before that, it was Florence where the federal prison went in. Well, anywhere that they can get a municipal corporation, anywhere that they can put in place government that can systemically and without any oversight, because you got the vote, didn't you? Rule people that go out in the middle of the freaking desert to be left alone. I know they're not going to leave me alone. I know. Do I manifest it by saying that? I'm just not an idiot. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go out. I'm going to make it very clear. All right. Ernie's ready to retire. He's 60, man. You know, and, you know, give me my $14.83 and whatever retirement you're supposed to give me, which I haven't paid into. I'll tell you right now, I don't pay Social Security. I've been self-employed for a long time. I'm not playing. Oh, you'll shoot me if I don't pay income taxes? Okay, I fill out the form and this, and I just pay, you know, so much a month here. Just take it. You know what? Just keep you off my ass for when I, you know, really going to get some. But do I think I'm going to get some retirement? You know, will I fill out the paperwork and say, okay, give me my whatever. It'll mean nothing. Yeah, probably. I paid in, you know, but I'm just like, I'm done. I'm not, no. And maybe I won't even do it. It's worthless anyway. But people that are living on so little money, where do they go? There's some government assistance, some safety net. Well, they're the first to get vaccinated, and we don't have to take care of them anymore because they're dead. You don't think so? Why do you think Cuomo was, you know, doing what he did with the nursing homes and so on? These guys are, man, they're freaking sociopaths, psychopaths. This, they don't think right. Well, they don't think like we do. I can guarantee that. You know what they are is familiars to the big vampires. They're the guys that can walk around out in the daylight, and you, they're insulation for what's really going on. And that's what Kyle goes, damn, man, you really hit on, man, damn. I mean, you're interviewing a little different, damn. I didn't expect, damn. Yeah, because I know what's really going on. It's systemic. It's built into the system. It's run by a machinery that has taken over any and everywhere they can. And there are a few pockets and a few counties and a few places around the country that are like, nope, not playing. I can name up and rattle off a bunch of them. But the point is that they're on the target. They're on, in the sights of these people. And if they want to get your whatever it is, they're coming. And what do you have to do? I mean, it. Fortunately, video and everybody walking around with a documentary film quality whatever in their pockets, you know, it has not hurt. But keep in mind, when Quartzsite really started to blow up, it was right when Cop Block was going on, showing police to be the thugs that, you know, nobody would believe that they could be. And it was systemic. It was a minimum job requirement. And it really started in the 90s when they started, you know, oh, you got to have vets that will kick in doors and shoot people on command. That was what going on. Guns and Hoses, the alliance between the fire department and the police department. And we made a big deal out of fire department. Don't be like this. Don't go down this road. Don't do that. Everybody loves when the fire department shows up. They don't have guns. They're not going to write you a ticket, usually. They've been used to do that, too. But, you know, they're glad they're there. They came fast and pace, man, right on. Don't get involved in all this other crap. Don't do it. Well, they do it anyway. So who's directing this? What's directing this? How is this getting directed? It's incentives. And what you want to, you more of, you subsidize, and what you don't want more of, you penalize. But what are they penalizing? Freedom. What are they subsidizing? Corruption. And what did you think was going to happen? Systemic. You know, I should have, yeah. It's systemic. I feel a bumper sticker coming on with the don't tread on me thing, you know, or the government being the snake or the serpent or the dragon or whatever. It's the corruption is systemic. Yep. I got a bunch of goodie in me. But what is the one thing that's going to piss them off? James Corbett and I are really working on this, blackmarketfridays.com. We're going to formulate. We're working on it now, a lot of the guys. We'll go to the festivals, you know, over the next month or so, and we'll come out with a plan and do it. And that is what happens when they go silver and crypto in quartzite. What happens then? Or just cash? What happens? They already don't like it. Why? Because it's a perfect example of how not to get taxed. How not, oh, you got to have your operation permit. You got to, it's all about permits now. So then what do? Do you move away from the town? You kind of start a pirate cove outside of the limits, out in the, you know, the desert, the BLM of leave me aloneism, and you got your own market. Oh, that's the market over there. Oh, no, we got to, you know, kind of, you know, our own little bit, or a campsite here that's, you know, 100 by 100 yards. Oh, no, this is probably, you got membership. Oh, no, you can come in, you know, I guess. You know, you got to go through the gauntlet, and we take your picture and do your ID. Scuttlebutt. We start, you know, IDing the sociopaths, the ones that want to come in and collectivize. You know, how do you do that and not be your own collective? I don't know. We're in the experimental stages of this stuff because it's so freaking obvious what the problem is, but they distract you from it. The problem is statism, collectivization. Somebody's got to, that's why I always go, what's your conflict resolution? What do I got to do? What can I do? What's your conflict resolution? And all these people that want to do their little hippie commune or whatever, and they're offended when I say hippie commune. Hell, I don't give a crap if it's a hippie commune, as long as it's not coercion, as long as it's not forced, as long as you're not making me and I can leave and I get to have my stuff. I mean, does a hippie commune mean that it belongs to everybody or nobody? How does this work? We're going to find out.
Are you feeling confused about the current economic reports that dominate the headlines? Not sure if this is a good time to buy or sell your home, or feel like the process can be overwhelming and confusing? This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I can take some of the guesswork out of the home buying or selling process, providing you with market trends in your area and detailing what to expect before, during, and after the process. A home is a place where the most important moments in your life happen, so making sure that you know exactly what to expect along the way helps to ensure that you have control. The future is here, so let me help you move forward with your real estate needs. Being in the real estate business for almost 20 years now has afforded me knowledge of the market, networking with industry specialists along the way. Now more than ever, you need an agent that can help you make sense of what many think is a complicated and mysterious process. Feel free to call or message me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819. Or visit my webpage today at donnahancock.com.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
And we're back. What are you doing, Donna? Well, go ahead and plug it in. Yeah, she's setting up for the next hour with Dale. The I'm sitting here. I get memes sent to me by our friend Greg, and I am just some of these. I got to be able to. I gotta redo my reason. They're not going on the Telegram is because my email changed, and I'm doing. That's another thing. We've been on Cox. Go ahead and turn the air conditioner on. We've been dealing with Cox Communications for a while. When we left, we did a year of, the transition, and now it's publisher at freedomsphoenix.com, which I kind of transitioned over to a lot of things, too. And then people go, hey, your email is wrong. I call or text. I go, yep, because we're done with that. But now, where do I do my email? A lot of it, is Gmail because I had these others go into that. And you would do that on Gmail? I go, hey, man, if you're going to be on the list, be on top of the list. It's safer there. So there is a time, though. I do recognize all the security and of course. But what do you do? The biggest problem that I've had with a lot of people, they try and get all clandestine, and we're going to have a secret meeting, or a secret to be a secret, and then they want me to go in the secret. And I go, look, do you have your phone on you? You're not secret. Hell, you meet out in the freaking middle of the desert. You're not secret. They track your car. They track you. The satellite of Compton. And it's the Panopticon mindset. Which the Panopticon was like a prison that was in a circle with a guard tower in the middle, and they could see in every cell. Whether there's a guard there or not, you were under the impression that you could be seen. So it changes your behavior. Naomi Wolf made a big thing out of this, one of her books too, in interview. But I could see what's happening, and we're being conditioned. We're lab rats. Where will humanity resurrect itself? Where is it that, when is it that the revolution between the ears takes hold and we start going, okay, we're seeing the systemic problem? They wouldn't create an entire system of governance of the masses for their benefit, to violate your rights for their benefit. That would be wrong. They don't give a crap. So you have to be educated. You have to be able to recognize it. This is why with these, a lot of, they're doing this intentional community, live whatever. I'll help them. I don't take away all your excuses. Oh, you need a structure? There you go. Help you out. You want to do that? Go, not a problem. As long as I learn how you did this and what you learned with this material and you did the labor for me of the research of what, I go, and they don't see that. They go, oh, that's all you want? And be able to, look at us and how our problems is and then tell the people, okay, we'll do that. And I'm going, all right. I'm totally up front with them. I think, I'm not going to say you're going to fail. Well, it depends what their goal is. Some people, all they want is they're 20-whatever years old. They think they're going to be happy if they can build a structure that they can live in, enough food to sustain them. They, have sex and orgies and whatever the hell makes them happy and smoke dope on the porch watching the sunset. I'm like, good goal. Now, if they can get somebody else to pay for it, or do it or leave them alone or they got some structure, the man's not going to bother, even better. Okay. Let me know how long that lasts. Because what's amazing to me is oftentimes that's everybody's goal, dream. And they think they have to go into the system to get the resources or decades, a lifetime of work to get to the point that they can go ahead and afford a little beach house on the corner of nothing and nothing and sit there and smoke ganja while they watch the waves and the sand lap over their toes. Well, hell, that's my dream. Well, just go do it. No, you start off that way. Well, that's kind of the realization that a lot of people are coming to, especially the tiny home thing and so on. And I can feel it on the Love Bus. I like it. It is freedom. We get to go where the weather's good. We get to meet a lot of people. We get to see, and we're comfortable. You know, we have not, and there's a lot of people that have it way more comfortable, you know, than the bus. But I like the bus because it is robust. I mean, you know, it's 50 billion years old, and, you know, we had to do a lot of work on it. But, you know, these buses, a lot of storage underneath. We have a lot of, you know, infrastructure with us. It freaking plows over everything, and, you know, we win. You hit a deer, and we win. I mean, you know, and we did have a deer hit us. It darted and hit right into the side and didn't make it. But, you know, we could hardly tell other than the hide rubbed up on the rear tire where, you know, it wound up. But I feel safe in this thing. It sits up really high. You can see. It's stainless steel. It lasts forever. You lock that door and boom, it's a vault. You know, I'm digging it. But there's always a good place to have you hang your hat and kind of store some stuff and, you know, infrastructure. If I just want to chill in my place here and I'll have, you know, major home be Arizona. I may have a summer place. I may have a bug out place. I just like to be here sometime to go fishing, RV. We had a story on Freedom's Phoenix a few days ago about buying your campsite. You just have a place you want to go out, you just buy a campsite. You know, it's like a timeshare for I got land. Well, we have some land in northern Arizona. You know, in the Sholo area. We've had that for, God, over a decade. But the way we purchased it was at an auction with a county, whatever the heck, in a defunct subdivision of back in, you know, real estate scamming days of something. And we got an acre and a half for $1,500, and it's on a corner of a nice place. They'll build around. Eventually, we'll just show up. But it's not listed with the county recorder. We did a trust. We kept the paperwork. We got the highest proof, and we pay the property taxes. I don't know, $30-$50 a year in a money order. They don't have any tracing to me. You know, it's up northeastern Arizona somewhere I got, and you don't know it. Ha, 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 ha. Now what? What can I do? What can't I do? And, oh, man, you're building. Did you get a permission slip? See, my thing is that I understand how the system is set up. It is not there to protect my individual rights of my body or my land. So I have to fight those battles first. And it may not be that I benefit from it. And they're you're lucky. I'm lucky that I enjoy the confrontation, the battle. And I think long term. I'm looking at decades. I'm looking at my grandchildren's lives, how they're going to be lived, what they get to say or do, or what kind of permission slip they got to have. And with technology, whether you bring out the power, you bring out the water, you bring it with power, hell, you make water. You know, I wish I could. I need to replumb just the air conditioning and the condensation that we get off of this bus. I could live on, literally. It pours, especially up here in the high humidity. Man, it's just water just pours off. You know, when you do any kind of refrigeration. So this is one of the things that Elon Musk is doing in the homes they're designing with their heat pump technology. HVAC is going to be really cheap. It's all electric. It's all solar, and it makes water. Distilled. You have to. It's so pure water. You have to add minerals and chemical. You know, not chemical, but minerals and dissolved whatever the hell in it, so that it doesn't deplete your body. It's almost as bad as drinking salt water. You drink distilled water, it sucks stuff out of your body. You need to have some minerals and stuff in there. Little additives. You know, let's add some dirt. You know, let's run it through some rock or something. So this is coming. It's here. And we're demonstrating it. But what is missing in all of this? Leave me aloneism. What is the jurisdiction of government when you're not bothering anybody. Nobody's pursuit of happiness is being challenged. Nobody's rights are being violated. Nobody has anything bad to say about you. They're just either the hermit of the we don't know anything about him, he didn't bother anybody, and nobody cared. Or, seemed like a nice guy, till he ran afoul of government, whatever. You know, and you join a community, and what makes you part of the community? Just living there? You know, you'd be a good neighbor. You know, somebody needs their lawn mowed, you go mow it. You know, a little league team needs some shirts, you sponsor them. I mean, you know, whatever. I see, you know, YouTube, it's amazing. We're watching this one YouTube series. This guy, he mows people's lawns. He has a lawn landscaping business. He gets a call from somebody. He says, hey, my neighborhood, my neighbor, it's got, you know, we're all in this one abandoned building of whatever. And he started a trend. There's other channels doing it now. And some landscaper, and he goes, yeah, I can spend a day, a month, every couple of weeks, whenever I don't have clients, I'll go out, and it takes me 4 or 5 hours to clean up this freaking trash. Oh, my God. But they got the equipment. They go out, and all of a sudden, boom. The neighborhood is like, thank you. Thank you. There was a disabled person, somebody sick, dying of cancer, abandoned, whatever. They're just being good neighbors. And when you go out and you feed people, or you do, you got a permit, you got a license to operate if you're not allowed. Change is coming. I feel it. I will manifest it because I can, and so can you. Stay tuned. We'll do it.